The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live today, so you can give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio. We have a fantastic guest coming up after the break, Dr. Ruth Neustifter, also known as Dr. Ruthie, is going to talk to us all about how to talk dirty, which will be kind of a nice change of pace, I think. I want to give you a few announcements. CineKink is going to be February 25th to March 1st, 2015, and the final deadline to submit to CineKink is December 12th. Go to cinekink.com for more information. And in January, I'm teaching an anal sex class at SHE, the Sexual Health Expo in Los Angeles, and a class on open relationships at the Pleasure Chest in LA. I'll put info about all that on my tour page at puckerup.com. Well, it has been quite a week, or maybe a month, a tough month, maybe a year, maybe longer. This week in New York, a grand jury decided not to indict police officer Daniel Pantaleo in the chokehold death of Eric Garner. This, of course, on the heels of the grand jury in Ferguson, Missouri, denying us a trial for Mike Brown's killer, Officer Darren Wilson. It's tragic, it's infuriating, and it exposes the deep inequality and pervasive racism in the criminal justice system and throughout our country. I encourage you, if you want to know what's going on in the world out there, to follow on Twitter the hashtags Black Lives Matter, We Are the Ones, and We Can't Breathe or I Can't Breathe. Find out if there's a protest or an action near you, and please let your voice be heard. They cannot ignore us if we are literally all out in the street. And it might be a little strange to do on radio, but I would like to take 10 seconds of silence in honor of Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Victor White III, Dante Parker, Ezell Ford, Tyree Woodson, John Crawford III, Yvette Smith, Jordan Baker, Tanisha Anderson, Miriam Carey, and all the Black men and women who've been killed by police officers. Well, not surprisingly, everything that is going on in our country right now is also happening in kind of a micro form in the world of sex education. And I want to talk about it, and I want to just give you a little background for those of you who may not have been following this ongoing thing. Carl Frankel and Sherry Winston co-authored and curated a new book called Secrets of the Sex Masters. And when the book was released, several people pointed out that all of the so-called masters are white. There's not one single contributor of color. This began a dialogue first prompted by Ida Mandule, who wrote a blog post and had some conversations with Carl on and offline. And Carl ultimately apologized and really took responsibility in a way that, quite frankly, was surprising to me, because I felt like he really listened and he really got it, and his apology was meaningful. Then the Women of Color Sexual Health Network released a statement about the book and what its implications were in the larger context. It was called "You Didn't Send for Us, So We Came for You: The Infestation of White Supremacy in the U.S. Sexuality Field." We're going to, of course, put a link to all these things up on our Twitter feed. Their post was clear, thoughtful, and unapologetic. And I want to read just a few quotes from it so you get a sense of what they said. This first quote is, "We must all work to create a societal shift toward the intentional, positive inclusion of people of color in this field. And that means white people cannot just be passive receptors of information or wait until mistakes are made to address them." The next quote, "There is a reason why, if white people are asked for the, quote, top names in the field, all the names they mention are of other white people. Whether intentional or not, you," meaning white people, "have perpetuated the stereotypes that, one, we, people of color, do not exist, and or two, we are presumed incompetent and thus not considered, quote, masters." And then finally, a sort of call to action to the white contributors in the book who are realizing their own error in not asking essential questions of themselves or others. What will you do differently? Instead of patting one another on the back for acknowledging you messed up, make a plan of action, one that holds you each accountable, check in with one another, and do the difficult work that is needed to deconstruct and destroy white supremacy in our field. Be transparent and public with your steps. Then do this in your life in every other aspect. It is not enough to acknowledge one mistake and then leave it at that. That's the end of the quote from that piece. Well, after they released that statement, Carl went back on the internet on his website, and he was clearly freaked out about it. And he wrote a new post, not taking back his apology, but saying, but really saying that he thought that this post by the Women of Color Sexual Health Network was counterproductive. The tone was inflammatory. It was offensive. He even implied with this graphic that women of color were bullying him. Then he went back when people called him out on it and revised his piece without disclosing he did. And then he changed its tone. So some people only saw the original. And in fact, you really should go to Ida's blog, where she has a timeline with a point by point thing, including screenshots. So you can see where the statement started and where it is now, because there's no other there's no effort made to show you that this has been updated. So if you go there now, it's quite calm and reasonable, but that's not what was up there to begin with. Although I was invited to contribute to this book and I declined for a number of reasons, I do feel like I have a horse in this race because I'm part of this community. And so I do want to comment publicly on the Women of Color Sexual Health Network's statement. Was it difficult to read that statement and really take it in as a white person? Absolutely. But we need to hear it. Is it painful to think that as a white person, I have a part in perpetuating the dominance of other white people in sex education? Yes. As someone who organizes events, invites speakers to those events, curates anthologies, produces sex ed films, and interviews people on the radio, my mission has always been to include folks of color, people of different classes and abilities, different genders and sexualities and backgrounds. But white people, and I include myself in this, we can all do better and do more. I want to hold myself accountable to you, my listeners. I went back and did my research and found out that across 121 episodes of Sex Out Loud, I have interviewed just 18 people of color. So I can do better. And I'm making a commitment to do that to all of you. I want to thank the Women of Color Sexual Health Network for raising this issue publicly and for doing it so passionately and articulately, and for, quite frankly, putting all of us on notice. If you're like me and you're really outraged about what's going on in this country right now and how there's not just police brutality, but such incredible racism that's we can see evidence of across the board. I mean, for me, sometimes I feel helpless about what to do. I mean, I've been to protests and I'm on Twitter and I'm there in spirit when I'm not on the street. But I think if you're out there and you're a white person, we've got to connect the dots here. This isn't all happening at the same time, coincidentally. So I say we start in our own backyard. This is hard shit. But we have to be vigilant about it. Otherwise, we are part of the problem. Thanks for letting me get on my soapbox. I welcome your feedback, as always. And we're going to shift gears after the commercial break. We are going to talk to Dr. Ruthie, one of my favorite sex educators. She's up in Canada. She wrote a fantastic book on dirty talk. I would go as far to say the best book on dirty talk that I've ever read. And so to take your mind off some of the heavy shit, we're going to talk dirty. So stay with us. You'll meet Dr. Ruthie after the break.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We're live today, so you can give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. We are now going to talk about talking dirty. Let me tell you about my guest. Dr. Ruth Neustifter, also known as Dr. Ruthie, is an author, university faculty member, and sexuality researcher that joins us from snowy Ontario, Canada. They are also proud to co-chair one of the largest and longest running annual professional sexuality conferences in Canada, which is the Guelph Sexuality Conference. Since the late 90s, Ruthie has specialized in sexual well-being and pleasure, as well as the resilience of survivors of intimate violence. They are the author of The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty, as well as an upcoming book with Routledge that's all about trauma survivors. They give workshops throughout North America, as well as in Mexico and Europe, in venues ranging from homeless shelters to universities to resorts. Dr. Ruthie considers themselves an advocate for pleasure, intimacy, consent, and sex positivity, regardless of one's past history, gender, health, sexuality, or desires. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Dr. Ruthie.
Hey, Tristan. Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm in love with this book on Dirty Talk for many reasons that I will explain throughout the show. But I guess where I want to start is, this is the good girl's guide to talking dirty. So the basis for this book is the good girl complex. I'll just call it the good girl complex. And I want to first kind of define what that is.
Sure, absolutely. So when the publisher approached me for the book, they wanted something that would be approachable for, you know, kind of your average everyday woman who wants to spice things up a little bit, who wants to be talking dirty a little bit more, to be adding some sort of extra spark to things, but doesn't think of themselves in a nasty way, right? They're thinking of themselves as a nice girl, and they don't necessarily want to give up that aspect of their identity to bring something in that's a little bit spicier, a little bit hotter. So the focus of the book is very much on your authentic sexual self and how to communicate that with your partners, not necessarily putting on a role or an act unless that speaks to you.
And one of the things you say right off the bat is that nice girls can make for the dirtiest of all dirty talkers. So explain why.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, if we go to that place with our dirty talk where we're getting as nasty as we can, as much blue language as we can possibly do, we might be stepping away from that authentic self. But the nice girls, the sweet ones, the endearing ones who are really communicating what's working for them sexually, what they're interested in, where they want to take the experience, that honesty can be incredibly arousing and can really go in the dirtiest directions if you want it to.
You know, one of the things I love is that this book is deceptive in that it's not just a book about dirty talk. I mean, I found myself as I'm reading it thinking, well, this is a great tip for sex. And this is a great tip just for communication or negotiation. This is a great tip for nurturing a relationship. You managed to kind of squeeze in a lot of different things into this one thing that I think is ostensibly a simple topic, but I feel like you've dug into it in a way that has this kind of breadth of all of these experiences you've had, helping people over the years, their stories, and it's kind of framed around the dirty talk, but really I kind of feel like everyone should read it who's having sex or is in a relationship.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, I've been doing sex education, sex coaching, and couples therapy for a number of years now. So all of that goes into this book when folks approach me on this topic. When I'm doing workshops, people come in from a diverse range of backgrounds around their sexual selves. So I certainly have people in my workshops who can't remember the last time they were turned on by anything, couldn't tell you what they want to talk dirty about because they are out of touch with their fantasies or perhaps have never experienced one. All the way through folks who are very much sexual explorers and who are pushing the boundaries on their love lives all the time. So I really wanted something that could reach across that whole expanse, but especially for folks who are a little closer to that more modest, more conservative place in their thinking around it, to be able to explore a bit from there in a way that's really comfortable. And that includes relational dynamics, conversation and communication dynamics, understanding one's sensual and sexual self, thinking about communication, tuning into that sense of authenticity, and really giving yourself permission to think about what turns you on and to integrate that into your communication in the bedroom in all sorts of ways, or whatever room you're having fun in.
Well, and I think that people take this for granted. They sort of think of dirty talk as kind of frivolous. And you make a very good argument in your book that it really can deepen your connection with your partner. So how does dirty talk specifically enhance intimacy?
Absolutely. Well, good communication can enhance intimacy in all areas of life, in all areas of our relationship. And when we get to our sex lives, oftentimes we shut down. We start basing everything on assumptions and guesses and, you know, social scripts, these kind of social things we're supposed to live out, and stuff about our gender that we feel like we're supposed to be encompassing and things like that. And we stop talking. We start hoping that the other person reads our mind or intuits us, maybe hope that the other person knows us better than we know ourselves sexually, especially if we look at gender. A lot of women, especially if they're partnering with men, are raised to kind of expect this male partner to be a knight in shining armor who kind of saves their sexual self while they wait for that to happen. So there's a lot of pressures around this that get brought into the bedroom, and people shut down and get really quiet. And on top of that, of course, when you're really turned on, it can be difficult to click in that part of your brain that's making a coherent sentence. But, you know, with all those things going on at the same time, you know, how does communication happen? How does it happen well? How do we know we have ongoing consent from our partner? How do we know we're reading their body language correctly? How do we know that, you know, they really would like it a little more to the left or a little more playful or a little more serious, whatever the case would be? Without that communication, that physical intimacy, but also that emotional connection, even if you don't even know your partner's name, that emotional connection still is going to be difficult to nurture without that communication happening. And there's so many directions that a person can take dirty talk in, you know, from appreciative to flirtatious to directive, all sorts of different directions that can really enhance the tone and the mood and people's ability to connect with each other and make sure that they're giving each other the information they need to build a positive experience together.
Okay, so you brought up these different kind of styles, and you identify them in the book, three different ones: the sweet talker, the direct talker, and the naughty tease. Mm-hmm. So for lack of a better word, let's tease those out and just describe what those are for me, kind of as archetypes or outlines.
Sure, sure. So there's lots of different ways to, you know, to do dirty talk and things like that. And I wanted to give three examples that differed from each other. So for instance, you know, the sweet talker is more on that complimentary side, perhaps a more playful or light side. It's very different from what a person might imagine just with the phrase dirty talk. I don't know about you, but with the phrase dirty talk, I sort of think of, you know, a very seasoned sex worker who's ready to whip out the dirtiest language you've ever heard, or phone
sex
worker.
Who has like the filthy mouth. Yeah, I right? Someone with a filthy mouth. Yeah.
Which is absolutely hot. You can totally do that. But that doesn't need to be the only way to talk dirty. So if you find that you're your most confident self when you're in a sweeter space, when you're using language that's more connected in that sort of playful, lighter sense, then you can absolutely do that in your dirty talk, and you can roll that into your persona, into that facet of yourself that you're showing. Absolutely.
Well, and one of the tricks of the sweet talker, which I really loved in your example, was you can actually say things that aren't dirty, but say them in a way that makes them sound dirty.
Sure. Yeah. That eye contact, that letting that partner know that something sweet is happening, but you're thinking about them in a sexual way at the same time. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I love this. There's a scene in your book where you sort of talk about a sweet talker who you know, and she's like at a coffee shop, sweet talking this person. So they're doing it in public, and you wouldn't say that they're like, you know, shouting across the table these like filthy things, but she's sweet talking.
Absolutely. If you're describing, you know, the heat of the coffee, the wetness on your lips, the steam that's happening from your hot drink, and I'm thinking of you at the same time, right?
Right. Okay. So now let's go to the direct talker who, you know, fair warning, this is who I identify with most.
Now I feel like I should be asking you questions for you to tell us more about that, Tristan.
No. Tell me your direct talker.
Yes. So, you know, a direct talker might be talking very much about what they want, what turns them on specifically, what arouses them, is taking that to that sexual level in a more direct manner, right? So the sweet talker is more flirtatious and perhaps talking about the senses, but not directly about sex. And the direct talker is really taking in that direction more. So they may be, you know, talking about all five senses as they pertain to their own body or to their partner's body, and really exploring those sorts of things. Being very you know, there's no guessing or interpretation about a direct talker. They know exactly what they're interested in. They're letting their partner know about that.
Yeah. Okay. And then finally, the naughty tease.
Right. So, you know, with the naughty tease, we can move in the direction of more fantasy talk. They can be inviting their partner to be doing more of the talking to them and the responses. And they can be incorporating little games with that dirty talk at the same time. You know, if they really want their partner to be moaning or to be describing what the sensation is like for them, they can be saying, you know, I'll continue to touch you as long as you describe what it feels like to you. But as soon as you stop, I'll stop too.
Those are all great. I loved all of those. I really did. I thought they were great. And the stories that have them, you know, behind them are really, they're very well sort of painted.
Thank you.
Well, one of the things you say is something that I think lots of sex educators say, which is that you should make a date night, and that when we yearn for spontaneity, it's a trap. So yes. we're going to take a commercial break. But I want to hear coming up about that, about date nights and about spontaneity, because I think it's just one of the things that comes up most often, especially for couples who've been together for a while. Mm-hmm. But first, let's hear from Good Vibrations, goodvibes.com, for all your holiday gifts, people. They're having different kinds of sales like every day this month of December. And you can always use coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order. So get the one you love or the ones you love, something special from Good Vibrations, goodvibes.com. Stay with us, more with Dr. Ruthie when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Sportsheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sportsheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sportsheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking today with Dr. Ruthie, the author of The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty. Did I get the title right, or is it A Good Girl?
It's a nice girl's guide.
Nice Girl. Okay. And we'd love to hear from you with your questions about talking dirty or your examples of talking dirty or your stories about talking dirty. You can call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. And remember, if we use your call on the air, you're going to win a prize from Sport Sheets. People, it's the holidays. Don't you want something free and fabulous from Sport Sheets? Of course you do. Okay, so one of the things you talk about in your book is date night, which lots of sex educators talk about, and this sort of trap of spontaneity. So let's talk about that piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely. So spontaneity is sexy. There's absolutely no doubt about that, and I'm a big fan of it. But what's important is as our lives become more full with things and people and, you know, obligations and children and pets and whatever it is that's going on in our lives, is that we have to make a point of creating opportunities for spontaneity to happen. And that's how I like to think of date night ideas. So I'm not a fan of date nights where it's like, okay, this is a night where we always go out to dinner. We always try to have sex. It's always awkward and uncomfortable and repetitive. Maybe it happens and maybe it doesn't. And that was our date night. Voila. But date night as an opportunity for investing in the relationship and creating situations in which spontaneous pleasure and passion can happen because that time has been set aside for it. And that's how I like to think of them. I think that those opportunities for spontaneity are really important. And if it ends up happening that wasn't a sex night, first of all, think about how you're defining sex. You might want to define a little more broadly and you'll have more opportunities for successful sex. And secondly, you're still making important investments in the relationship so that you're having that time repeatedly as often as you're able to schedule it in there where you can move in more spontaneous directions if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really speaks to this mythology around sex and our desire all being spontaneous, like all happening spontaneously. And if we don't just like come home from a long day at work and want to rip each other's clothes off, something's wrong. But after you've had a long day of work, like really, who wants to rip anything? I mean, it's just like you're exhausted.
And the chemistry, the chemistry of our bodies changes, right, Tristan? So in the beginning of a relationship, when people are really, really strongly sexually attracted to each other and they have that fire burning, there's all these hormones and chemicals and things in our body that encourage us, that almost force us to make spontaneous, you know, sexual moves towards each other. And, you know, we have all sort of, we put off our friends, we go to work late, we stop watching our favorite television show because we want that other person, we need them. And it's no joke, the chemicals in our body make us want and need them. But after 3 to 6 months, maybe a little longer if it's a long distance relationship, those chemicals die down, which is good because that's not sustainable. You can't keep up that level of obsession with another person and be happy and healthy.
No, it's like, I call it when you're in that phase, like you would lose your job to fuck this person, which of course is not sustainable. It's just not sustainable.
No, nothing like losing your job to kill the romance. So, you know, we think back on these times early in the relationship when we're just wild for each other, ravenous for each other. And then we think, well, why isn't it like that anymore? And some of it is that we're busy. Other things are that our body isn't pushing us to make those opportunities for spontaneity. So we have to create those opportunities for spontaneity more mindfully.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a good question from Twitter. This comes from Bonnie Lonnie, which is a very cute name. What is a good way to integrate humor into dirty talk? Sometimes I laugh nervously when I'm talking in sex, and then it breaks my partner's mood.
Humor and laughter can be such a wonderful part of sexy times. Absolutely. I mean, if you ask me, bodies are hilarious. Bodies are funny things. They do funny things. They make funny sounds. They make interesting all sorts of stuff. And the notion of humor and sex is such an important element. I wonder about the partner in this question and, you know, if they're stressed, if they're worried, if the confidence isn't up there to kind of sustain that humor, or if there's, you know, some kind of social rule that they're working on that sex has to be really serious in order to be romantic. I think laughter is a great thing to include in it. What do you think, Tristan?
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea. First of all, funny things happen when you have sex. Let's mm-hmm. just say that. And if people tell you that nothing funny ever happened to them, then I don't know. They're lying. funny things happen. And it's good. And I think it's good to be very playful. Well, what struck me about this question, and maybe the person will follow up with a little answer for us and then we can continue, is this person says they laugh nervously.
Mm.
And I wonder if their nervousness is being read by their partner and then that's what's breaking the mood.
Oh,
and I guess that like speaks to your piece about confidence. You know, people, I think, feel really out there when they're first dirty talking. You know, I think most people's first reaction to dirty talk is like, I'm embarrassed. What will I say? What if I say the wrong thing? How do we get over that initial kind of hump?
You know, first of all, I always try to remind myself that the other person is just always worried about themselves as I am about myself, right? And they're probably not noticing me. And I'm not noticing any of their little mistakes, or I'm finding them endearing anyway, because of that connection that we're having. So I think about that. I also think about, you know, the opportunities for a little additional vulnerability that can really bring people closer together in a sexual interaction. Again, whether it's a one-night situation with a person that's new to you or whether it's an ongoing relationship. And, you know, if there's permission to laugh and if there's permission to be silly and if those smiles and those eye contact moments are happening, you know, when we have that ability to be a bit more vulnerable, we can have a little bit more confidence too. In the book, I also talk about thinking of the moments in your non-sexual life when you're at your most confident and what you channel or what you bring to those times and how you can incorporate that into your playtime as well. So if you're most confident when you're humorous, you know, making sure that you're bringing that side of yourself in. If you're most confident when you're planning and orchestrating and facilitating something, then allowing to bring elements of that into your love life as well so that you're really bringing that with you.
Yeah, I liked that technique. I mean, that's part of the book is really good, is that there's these exercises, there are these specific questions, they're really specific things people can do. I feel like if you read the book from beginning to end, you've got a lot of tools. You know, there's nothing vague in here. She really breaks it down. And so one of the things you talk about is like the three levels of dirty talk. I wonder if we could go over those.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about, we've got our levels and we've got our styles going on here. So when people are talking about dirty talk, maybe they're thinking directly of, you know, I want you to do this, let's have this fantasy sort of situation, something really intense in that way. And that can be a great level of dirty talk to talk at, but it doesn't need to be where a person needs to start. That can be very intimidating, or it just may not, you know, it may not fit your style to begin with. And that's okay as well. So first thing I like to encourage people to do is to think kind of about the senses a little bit and to begin with describing the senses. And that can be the example from the Sweet Talker, right, about, you know, having a coffee and describing those things. There's a story I really like in the book that came from a workshop of mine. And I was facilitating the workshop, and there was one guy who was, you know, really kind of nervous about doing it right and had showed up there by himself and was trying to be a good guy and all that. And the rest of the group were women. And I was inviting them to describe these strawberries that they were biting into. And in his story, you know, I'm trying to remember it as best I can here, he talks about how, you know, when he put the strawberry up to his lips, he could feel the skin of the strawberry and the texture of the seeds. And as he pressed his teeth against the skin of the strawberry, it resisted for a moment, but then it yielded and this juice came into his mouth, and it's like it was asking him to bite the strawberry again, to take in more of it. And when he was done describing, he kind of looks up and he's like, oh, I guess I did pretty well. And all of the women in the group were just looking at him with lust in their eyes. And it was amazing. And he hadn't said anything directly sexual, but talking about his own senses in that moment was incredibly erotic. So you can begin in that sort of way. It doesn't have to be that flowery or prolonged or whatever the case may be. Even just letting somebody know, you know, how their hand feels different on your hair versus on your arm. Mm-hmm. And asking them to describe their senses back. So that kind of at the first level.
Yeah, and it's easy for people, I think, to tap into, because there's not a script or a story or a persona. You're you, and you're just being descriptive in a thoughtful, mindful way.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, what I think something that can be very arousing for people is even just hearing what it feels like to touch or be touched by the other person, if you're comfortable with that. And that doesn't have to be super explicit touch either. So describing those senses can be a really nice way to start. And it fits well with science too. People with vulvas, research tells us that they aren't necessarily aware of when they're physically aroused. So mental arousal and physical arousal can happen separately. Mm-hmm. So also having a partner who, you know, is describing to a person with vagina their own arousal can be really exciting too, and a little more explicit form of describing the senses. The second one is building on the past. So this might be experiences that you had with your partner, or that you had before you met your partner, or that you didn't have, but you had fantasies and hopes for when you were younger in life. Not everybody has positive sexual experiences in their past, but they certainly can in their present and in their future. So there may be some imagination going on here as well. There's something a little less intimidating about talking about the past than there is about talking about the present or the future or about fantasies. You have something that you can be discussing that has already happened that you can embellish, that you can relive, and those sorts of stories. So building on the past is the second. Well, kind of the senses is, I didn't really count as one of the three. So I guess building on the past is your first one after the senses.
And then finally.
Yeah, we have forecasting the future and inviting fantasies into it. So it's what I want to do with you, what I want you to do with me later today. And that comes across as a special kind of invitation. And you can also encourage fantasies, just remembering that it's perfectly fine to fantasize with your partner without being obligated to do those things. And that when someone shares a fantasy with you, it's a gift, right? It's not an obligation. So you receive that with gratitude and perhaps exchange that. And then you can have a separate conversation about whether that's something you want to do in real life or not.
Yeah. Okay, we've got to take another break. But coming up, I want to talk next about the Guelph Sexuality Conference, mm-hmm. which is coming up, and there's a lot to talk about there. And it's your last chance to ask us your questions. I've got some of your questions from Twitter. I'm going to ask them. Keep sending them. And stay with us for more Dirty Talk and Sex Ed with Dr. Ruthie.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We're talking today with Dr. Ruthie, and we've been talking about her fabulous book on talking dirty. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the 2015 Guelph Sexuality Conference, which is happening June 18th to the 19th. I've been to this conference. It's really fabulous. It's in a tiny little place in Canada, but it's definitely worth going to. So give me a basic rundown, Dr. Ruthie, because you're the co-chair this year?
I am the co-chair, yeah. I was on the planning committee last year and so excited to be the co-chair this year. So the Guelph Sexuality Conference, this will be our 37th year of our annual conference. So we're a well-established event. And our goal is that we seek to advance the sexual health and well-being of Canadians and the global community by providing evidence-based information, education, and training designed to engage practitioners in diverse fields related to sexual health. And we have been moving more into the, well, we always have included social justice elements as well that have been really important to us and activism elements. And this year's theme, I'm so excited about, it's on bodies, resistance, liberation, health, and pleasure. And if that isn't a great place to start from, especially in our current context, I don't know what is. So I'm really excited for this conference. It's, like you said, June 18th and June 19th, 2015. And we are now accepting proposals. So all the sex nerds out there, I would love to see proposals from you, preferably related to bodies and these ideas around resistance, liberation, health, and pleasure. But if you're doing something else that's awesome and excellent and fits a global context or Canadian context or, you know, carries across borders, then we most certainly want to hear from you. And the link is up on the website, with it, which is Guelph, and I'll spell it in a second, guelphsexualityconference.ca. So that's Guelph, sexualityconference.ca.
Not .com, people, .ca, like Canada, okay?
Yes, and we're about an hour from Toronto, so it's easy to fly into there, and we can help you figure out the different routes to get here from there.
And for people who might want to go, give me some examples of what kinds of presentations there have been in the past.
Oh my goodness. There has been such a broad range of presentations. Last year, Bear Bergman gave one of our talks and did some amazing storytelling for us. We also had a great closing presentation by several of the sex workers who have been bringing the legal challenges here in Canada around decriminalization and legalization and things like that of sex work, which is not going so well for us right now. But the fight continues with that. We had fantastic talks on how to do good mental health work with diverse trans clients. We had talks on pleasure after trauma. We had some wonderful performance art that went on throughout. We had all kinds of a range of different things. Last year, the theme was on families. So we had poly families and leather families and families by adoption and families by artificial insemination and how to talk with children around pleasure and how to have multi-gender restrooms in your kids' schools and all kinds of good stuff going on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have a question that's related to that, which also comes from a listener on Twitter. Their handle is @passiontopraxis. Mm-hmm. And they say, how can we queer the sex ed research and curriculum so that more diverse perspectives are taught?
You know, that is such a fantastic question. And, you know, when it comes to the research and queering the research, so I'll start with that part of it. It can be really difficult. A lot of this research is funded by federal grants and large agencies and things like that. And that funding is competitive, and that funding is consistently being cut, just as funding to public universities are being cut. And there's some really creative stuff going on out there to try and deal with these cuts to public funds. And, you know, when the public funding gets cut, either there's no funding and the research can't happen, or it has to be funded by different kinds of private interests or businesses and companies, which you know, may have a bias in that funding, and that can be concerning too. So a friend of mine, Dr. Karen Blair, does crowdfunding for her research, and she does LGBTQ inclusive social science and health research, and I just absolutely love the work that she's doing. Her website is www.drkaren.com. And you can learn more about what she's doing and how she's doing that funding. She's one of several people who are doing some really, well, more than several people who are doing some really great stuff. The other thing too is to really keep an eye on what is getting censored out of research. So if we're not seeing a lot of research that supports the queering of sex ed and the improving of these policies and things, why not? Who's doing this funding and who can we talk to about opening that up? How can we get our press sources, our media sources to be talking more about queer research? How can we start saying, you know, when we see the research this policy is based upon, saying who was not included in this study, you know, what perspectives or what, you know, what kind of sample of people who are being asked or gathered information from were not included. A lot of this research is still done exclusively on straight monogamous relationships, and you know, folks with more academic privilege or more financial privilege, or you know, more ethnic privilege and things like that. So, you know, being very critical and saying I don't want this funding to go to non-inclusive research. Then bringing it into schools becomes a challenge too, right? So the textbooks, you know, go through all kinds of editing and all kinds of censorship. The presence of, you know, parents and community figures who may not want queer or inclusive or effective, for that matter, sexuality education.
Yeah, this happened in California. Yes. I don't know if you read about it.
Yeah,
where
California.
There was, I mean, there was this textbook, and it was in somewhere in California, and there was a section about fantasy, role play, bondage, and some very light BDSM. Mm-hmm. And parents, like, were up in arms saying, like, throw the whole book out.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the book basically said, like, this is what, you know, BDSM is, and some people do it. I mean, it was so, like, straightforward. It was not controversial at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like saying, hey, queer people also exist. You might be queer. Moving on.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem all that radical. But yeah. These parents actually organized against it.
And it's risky to organize against the parents who are organizing against, right? We have to put our name or ourself out there and wonder what people will think about us. But, you know, if you have the privilege to leverage for that, that might be a time to burn a little privilege.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Okay. Well, do you have time to answer one more question? We've got a listener question that came by email.
Yeah, nothing would make me happier. Go for
it. Okay, good. So I think this is a good one for you. My partner and I moved to a new town almost a year ago, and we've made friends with another couple. Let's call them A and G. They have similar ages and interests. They're also queer and in an open relationship, and we've sometimes joked about how we'd like to date them. I've become closer friends with A, but now that some time has passed, I actually am interested in playing with G, the partner, and would like to figure out a way to bring this up without making our friendship awkward. Any idea for scripts or setting up scenarios to broach the topic with both people in the couple? Signed, Making the Leap. Thanks for your question, Making the Leap.
I am so thrilled with the way Making the Leap wrote this question about wanting to communicate, about respecting the friendship, about respecting the relationship that A and G have, and about wanting to communicate it in a way where both A and G are a part of that conversation too. So just lots of credit for this question and how mindfully they seem to be thinking about it and approaching this, eh?
Yeah, I agree. They're already a kind of one step ahead than most people because they're like, okay, I can't just like sort of burst into this. We have this established friendship. I don't want to fuck it up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, I wonder if that isn't just one possible really great way to do it. Just say, I really am cherishing this friendship. I love this friendship we have. I wonder, you know, if you have any interest of taking this friendship to a more intimate level. And if not, I'm really excited to continue our friendship with each other and not worry about that level at all.
Yeah, I think lots of sort of reassurance that like, hey, I'm putting this out there, but whatever you say, don't let it like become this weird thing between us. I'll go mm-hmm. either way. I love being friends. I'd love to be more than friends, but like let's, and also I think acknowledging that there is this pre-existing couple, there's two pre-existing couples and what the boundaries are around that, I think is important. I think reassurance up front, hey, I'm closer friends with one of you and I'm more attracted to the other one of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I really respect your relationship. I think that kind of stuff can't be said enough.
And even asking Angie, hey, I have this thing I want to ask you about this. Could you guide me in how to ask you or have this conversation the most respectful way for your relationship?
And I would do it with both of them at the same time.
Absolutely.
Because I think a little game of telephone or who gets approached first can start to, it could get a little wonky. So I want them both in the same room.
Yeah. It's a risk, but you know, if that friendship and that relationship is good, then, you know, hopefully at the very worst, they'll be really flattered by hearing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't put yourself out there, you're not going to get anything. So
absolutely.
I say make the leap. Okay, thank you so much for being on the show today, Ruthie.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tristan. This was wonderful.
I had a great time.
Me too.
This is a really good gift also for the holidays, people. Okay, Dr. Ruth Neustifter. Mm-hmm. Neustifter.
Yep.
There, I got it. Or Dr. Ruthie, as she's affectionately called, is the author of The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty, which is available at bookstores everywhere and online. Find out more at exploringintimacy.com, which is their website, or find them on Twitter at Dr. Ruthie. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. And you can always find me on puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You also can subscribe to it, and you should, and you should also review it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be the incredibly inspiring Kristen Beck. Once a U.S. Navy SEAL and now an out, proud trans woman. We'll talk about the film, about her life, Lady Valor, and lots more. And this month coming up after that, we've also got sex educator Megan Ondelou and sexologist Dr. Winston Wild. So you don't want to miss these December shows. They're really good ones. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at sexoutloudradio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex and, more importantly, what's going on around us in our world. Hashtag Black Lives Matter, and do it out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.